Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2016 Home Education Conference, held in Ellicott City, Maryland.
Well, thank you all for coming. My name is Roseanne Patterson, and the title of the class is Every Child Deserves an IEP. So I do have to thank you all for coming. It is the last class before the closing keynote, and you guys are like the Saturday's warriors of LDSHE. You're like them of the last wagon who struggle along through the dust and the debris and everything. You know, you're exhausted, but you're pioneering on, you're going forward, and I appreciate you being here, and I hope that you'll find some value in the class today. Every child deserves an IEP. The Bible Dictionary says that faith is a principle of action, and you've exercised your faith by coming to this class today. There is something in the title or the description that caught your eye and that caused you to think, maybe there's something in here that I can learn from, something that will help me or my family or my children in our circumstances. And so you've exercised your faith in coming today. Elder Bednar and others of the General Authorities have taught that the thoughts and the feelings and the insights and the revelations, the ideas that you have while you're listening to a talk, when you've exercised your faith and gone to a sacrament meeting or a general conference or some kind of a presentation with a prayerful heart, those thoughts and ideas that come to you are the Lord's gift to you because you did exercise faith. And those are gifts of inspiration and revelation directly to you from the Lord. And so I hope that during this time that we have together today that we'll be blessed with that revelation from the Lord. And I hope that each one of you will walk away with at least some idea that you can apply to your own lives and to your children and your family. I'm going to share today with you some things that I wish that I had more fully understood over 20 years. That bio's a little old. We've been homeschooling 22, 23 years, something like that. And I have 6 children. The oldest is 32, and the youngest is 13, and he's here with us today. Only 2 of them are still at home. I have a 13-year-old son and an almost 15-year-old that are still at home. So I'm going to share with you some things that I wish that I had more fully understood over 20 years ago when we started homeschooling. So who knows what an IEP is? Okay, so some of you know what an IEP is. How many of you have actual experience with an IEP in the schools? Okay, Heather. Heather's my daughter's friend. She's here. So an IEP through the public school system it's an individualized education program. That's what IEP stands for. And it's used as a tool by the public schools to address the unique challenges and needs of special needs students. Okay, and there's lots more we could say about an IEP, but just that's all we need to know for our purposes here today. And the premise of the title of this class is that every child has special needs and special talents and special gifts and special responsibilities, maybe special things given to them by the Lord, and that they need a specialized plan, an individual education plan. Each child needs their own to help them to grow and develop and to become the person that the Lord really wants them to be. Okay, so that's the premise of the class. So how do we do this? So if you open up your guidebook, this to page 303, we're going to kind of follow along with this. Okay, so how do we do this? I think we need to move beyond the public school paradigm of what your child needs to know when, right? Most of us are products of the public school system, and so we're conditioned to accept so many of the paradigms, and that's one of them. You know, oh, my child is in third grade or fourth grade. They should be reading fluently by now, or they're in third grade. It's time to introduce cursive, you know, and all these paradigms that we have that are based on what the public school sets up and are dictating to us what we should do, where our child should be. And I think that we need to move beyond this and create what works for our family and our children. Think for a minute about who creates these lists, what your child needs to know when, and how the standards and requirements are developed. Just think about that for a minute. It's probably a committee of educational bureaucrats, and I say that in the very nicest way. I don't mean to be derogatory, but that's who they are at both the state and the national level. And do they know your child? No, they don't know your child. Do they know your family? No, of course they don't know your family. And do they share your values? Probably not, right? So they're well-intended. They're well-educated. Education and administrative professionals. And they have to do this. This is their job. It's their job to administer an education to thousands of children. And they have to have some standards, some benchmark, you know, some thing, some checkpoint along the way where they can measure progress and say, well, most children are here. Most children are here. Okay, so they have to do that. We get to educate our children at home. And I feel like one of the biggest advantages of homeschooling is that we get to decide what our children learn and when they learn it and what's age appropriate and what is the most important thing for them to learn, for our family to learn. What are the most important things that we can be studying, that we can be teaching our children? So I do want to make it clear, I'm not suggesting that we ignore the requirements of the state. You know, they have their certain things that, you know, if you homeschool in the state, you need to teach these certain things. I'm not suggesting that we ignore the requirements of the law. What I am suggesting is that we prioritize our time and that we fulfill the requirements of the law while at the same time placing the most emphasis and the most time and the most energy and resources on the things that really matter the most to our family, to our children, to our values. So instead of, you know, going with this whole paradigm of what your child needs to learn and when, instead, let's customize our children's education to meet their God-given talents and interests and abilities and needs. So what's most important to you? What's the most important to your family and your children? What matters most? What matters the most to you? Is it the gospel? Is it the scriptures? Is it service? Is it literature? Is it art, music, dance, sports, work ethic, life skills, family togetherness, family history? When I think of families that I really admire, I can pick out things about them that I love, that they do as a family. It's their family priority. I have a friend who, she does not homeschool. She has 5 sons, and her husband loves athletics and sports. And so do the boys. They all love it. And they're all good at it. And so they do sports. They do basketball and soccer and volleyball. And she loves music. And by golly, those boys all play a stringed instrument. And that's their family. It's that. It's the gospel. And it's music. And it's sports. And that's what they do. And that's where their focus is. And that's where they spend their time and priorities is on those areas. You know, you probably all know people, families that you admire, and they have their thing. They have their thing that they do that they're really good at. And, you know, I think we can learn from other families that, you know, we admire that have their thing that they do. So generally where we spend our time, especially our discretionary time, will show us where our interests are, both as a family, as individuals, and also our children also, where they spend their time. Okay. So these things that we decide are most important, these are the things that get the most consistent effort. Consistent is a key word. The most focus, the most time, and the most money. Okay. And because of the commitment level, this is a really important conversation to have as a couple. And this is one of the things that I wish my husband and I had realized much earlier in our career as homeschool parents. I think we realized at some level what was really important to us, but we didn't actually have this conversation for quite a while where, you know, we actually talked it out and decided what was most important. But it's so important to be on the same page about this, because the commitment is incredible, both in terms of time and money and resources and, you know, everything about it. So it's really important to have this conversation as a couple. Well, when you've had these conversations, and by the way, don't expect to have it once and done. You know, this is an ongoing, evolving thing, and so it's something that's going to happen. But what happens is it really informs the decisions that you make as a couple, as a family, and the children. As you know, children are mature and they become able to really participate more in this themselves, and as they participate in the whole process as a family, it really informs the decisions that you make. And once you understand this and you are all on the same page, you can create a unique educational plan for your children and your family based on your most important priorities. Okay, so how to begin to create an IEP for your child. I am such a list person. Make a list. And in fact, I'm such a list person that we joke about, Mom is never listless. And my children have modified the hymn, We Are All Enlisted. It is now, Mom is All Enlisted. And they've made up all their own words. And I'm also the organist, and so I choose the hymns that we sing at church. And we never sing that one because I know they will sing the words that they made up instead of the words that are in the hymn book, and that wouldn't be good. So, but anyway, make a list. Make a list and... make a list of your child's God-given talents and interests and abilities and gifts and things that you believe are a part of his or her life's mission. Where are they going with this? Where do you think they're going to go professionally? You know, if they have this certain set of talents and gifts, what professions might they be interested in? You know, and what do they have to do to get there? You know, in sixth grade, seventh, eighth, through high school, what are some of the things that would prepare them to be successful in, you know, some of these fields? Be prayerful about this and expect to add to it over time. It's not a static thing. It is a changing list. It will evolve. When I did this, well, I just did this 2 years ago. I'm sure I've done it over time, but 2 years ago was really an amazing experience for me. When I did this, most of the thoughts about what their talents and interests and stuff are came to me very quickly, and I was able to write it down really fast. It didn't take me very long. And I did add to it over time, but I found that I only added a little bit over time, that most of the work had been done up front because I just knew it. It was just because, you know, you're their mother. You know your child. So be prayerful about it, and then ask your spouse to make a list also or to contribute to yours. And so we did this, and then also consider making the list without the child's knowledge. I did this totally without the knowledge of my two sons that are still at home, and that this was a powerful experience for me, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. So then after you've made the list, or you can do it at any time, but then ask your child to make the same list, and I asked my child's, my children, to each of them to make a similar list. And I didn't tell them that I had already made a list for them. I just said, hey, let's do this, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so then, once you've done that, spend some one-on-one time or some parent-child time with your child, reviewing and discussing the things on his or her list and listening to him or her talk about, you know, what's on their list. And at this point, you can share your list with your child, and you can discuss any differences. I won't go there yet. I kind of wanted to share kind of a personal experience at this point. I did this with my two sons, and I made a list for each one of them describing what I thought their talents and interests and goals and where they were going in life, where these things would take them. And then I asked them to do this, and my husband had contributed to the list as well. And so then I asked them to do it, and they you know, dutifully did their lists and showed them to me, gave them to me. And I found, I was kind of a little bit astonished to discover that everything that they had put on their list was on my list. Everything that was on their list that they had written down was on my list that I had written for them. But not everything that was on my list was on their list. And so I felt like, first of all, that was such a confirmation to me that we as mothers are so, I think we are blessed. I think we truly are gifted from our Heavenly Father to know these things about our children, to have this insight and intuition into our children's makeup and who they really are and who they are when they come to us, you know, brand new. And that was a real kind of testimony to me. So after I had spent some time with each of my sons looking at what was on their list and talking about it and asking questions, well, where do you, you know, what are you going to do about this talent? How do you think you could develop this talent? Where do you think it's going to lead you? Where are you going to go with this? You know, how can you use this talent to serve other people? After we had been through all that, I got out my list and I said, well, and this is where I made my list. I just made in this little pink notebook. And I got out my list and I said, I made a list for you too. And I want you to read it and tell me what you think. And basically the purpose of that was, I wanted each of my sons to look at what I had on my list that wasn't on their list and tell me if it was accurate. And if, you know, I wanted it to be a discovery process, if it was indeed a discovery process. And that's exactly what happened. They looked at the list and they read through it, and each of them individually. And I said, well, what do you think? Do you think this is right? You know, the extra things that I have on my list? And they're like, yeah, I think so. And so I feel like that was a way for them to discover new things about themselves that they didn't realize before. And I feel like that's normal and natural. They were younger at the time. They were, what, 10 and 12, maybe, something like that. And so, you know, a child is not completely self-aware. They don't know everything about what's going on yet or what their talents are or where they're going with that and that kind of thing. But that was a real revelation to me, is that we as mothers can be blessed to know these things about our children. So at this point, once you've had this conversation with your children, this is the funnest, this is the best part of it, because it's at this point that you can share your spiritual vision with your children. And you know, when I made this list for them and I started thinking about possibilities and where these things could take them, you know, it's kind of like your mind opens up and you're like, oh my gosh, with this set of talents, this son could do this or this or this. Imagine what a great servant he could be with this set of talents. If he really, you know, if he really bought into this and really developed these talents. And so, you know, at that point in the discussion, I was able to say, son, do you see what Heavenly Father can do with you? Do you see what he can make of your life if you do these things? And it was such a wonderful opportunity to share my spiritual vision for my sons with them, and to invite them into that vision as well, and to invite them to see what maybe the Lord had planned for them, and to invite them to see these talents and what's it going to be like when you develop them? How powerful are you going to be in, you know, in serving the Lord and in being a better father and a better husband and providing for your family and all these things? And it was a very special experience for each one of my sons when we had this conversation together. And I feel like it's very important to share that vision with our children. Also at this time, or shortly after this experience, is a great time to have your children go journal, and for you to go journal too, to write down, you know, what happened? Did your son, you know, did he share any things, any thoughts, visions, ideas, plans that they had? And for them to write it down too, and to perhaps record in their journal some of the inspirations, the personal thoughts that they had in relation to discussing all these things, because it's going to be easy to forget this kind of an inspiring experience. You know, when the going gets really tough, and you know, and they're in the middle of the hard work of actually developing these talents, actually doing what they need to do to bring these gifts to maturity and fruition. It's hard. It is hard, hard work. And they need to be able to go back and see that inspiration and see how they felt at the time and to maybe recapture that vision to keep them moving forward and to continue to give them vision. So journal time is great, sometimes shortly after that. And also, Diane Jepson in her class yesterday shared the principles of being of mentor meetings. And it's a good time to kind of implement that as well, and maybe even set that up if your child is willing. Hey, what if we have, you know, what if we have this meeting every however often? And, you know, let's talk about what you're doing and how well you're doing and the progress you're making. And it's a good time to do all of that. Okay. So, speaking of reality, it's at this point that the hard work begins. So, together you want to make a plan, and you know, you want to talk about what's most important. Are there certain things that have to be done first in order to be able to do this later? You know, together make a plan. Start to look for opportunities and resources that meet the needs that you've identified and, you know, the priorities that you've focused on and that you selected to work on first. So begin to make plans. Be prayerful. Ask the Lord to direct you. Ask Him to show you where the opportunities are and to find the resources that your child needs to succeed. You don't have to wait for your list to be complete before you can start this whole process. And you really don't want to wait because your list is never going to be complete. It's always going to be evolving. So, you know, accept the revelation and the inspiration you have now and start to act on it. And that will allow you to receive more revelation as time goes on, more inspiration for your children and your family. So I want to share some experiences that I had in connection with doing this with my sons right now. And I hope that what I share will inspire. And it's certainly not to be boastful, but I hope that it'll inspire you and that you'll have some ideas of, you know, what can I do? What maybe this will work for my children. So my youngest son just turned 13, and he's very gifted musically. And I didn't know that when he was younger. He started taking piano lessons when he was 5, and I would never have done that on my own, but my older daughter sat him on the piano bench beside her when he was a cute little fat-faced boy, still a baby face, and taught him a few little things on the piano. And then when she went to her lesson, he had to come too because he was only 5. And he wanted to show Miss Laurie what he'd been learning on the piano. And so it wasn't long, maybe only like 3 weeks, before I said to Laurie, the piano teacher, "Can I pay you for 45 minutes and can he have 15? And she said, "Absolutely." And he's been going ever since then. And so he's very diligent. He's a very diligent child, and he's also talented. And if you have diligence and talent together, you get great results. And so he's very, very talented musically. 2 years ago, the main thing on his Christmas list was, "Mom, I want violin lessons." And so we rented a violin, and we gave him violin lessons, and he's doing really well. The other thing that happened, which is really the story that I want to tell, is 2 years ago when he was 11, in the Washington, D.C. area, they have an organist workshop for members of the church who are organists to come and improve your skills and learn and all that. And I'm the organist, and I thought, I love the organ. And I thought, I'm going to go, and I'm going to see, you know, what's going on. I'm going to improve and all that. And I thought, why don't I take him with me and let's just see if he's interested. So I took him with me and he was interested. And I thought, I realized for one thing that his legs were long enough to reach the pedal boards. And I just had this realization, you know what, now is the time, not later. Now, because he's 11 and he has the time and he has the interest. And, you know, when they're 15 and 16, life gets busier. And so we came home and I started looking. Well, first of all, I thought, how are we going to do that? We're already paying several hundred dollars a month for music lessons. And I thought, I just don't know how that's going to happen. But I finally decided I was going to go and I was going to find him somebody, and we were going to make this happen. And then how do you practice too? You know, most people don't have an organ in their home. And so I made a major commitment. Well, I'll tell you about the, I made a major commitment that I was going to take that child to the church every day to practice the organ, and that we were going to have PE there too. Oh gosh, I don't know what I was thinking, but I made that commitment. And so we came home from this, and I found him an organ instructor. And, you know, they give you their stuff, the studio policies, and you got to sign your name on the dotted line and all that stuff. And I said, well, you know, how much are lessons? And he said, well, let's see if we can get him a scholarship. And I was like, okay. I knew nothing about a scholarship. But it turns out that the American Guild of Organists in York, Lancaster, and Harrisburg, which is right, all those areas are very close to us, all three of them offer scholarships for beginning organists. And my son won a scholarship, and he kept winning scholarships. And I have never yet paid for an organ lesson or any music or the organ shoes, because they've all been provided. And I feel like that is such a huge blessing. And when we have these blessings in our lives, I feel like we can take the opportunity to tell our children, this is a blessing from the Lord. The Lord has given you this blessing. You have this talent, you've acted in faith, and he has given you this blessing. And, you know, he expects you to serve at someday. He expects, you know, where much is given, much is required. My son is now the assistant organist in our ward, and he's playing every now and then. As fast as he can learn the hymns, he's playing them. It is. It's very exciting. But I, you know, this was all a result of this, you know, this IEP process. And I feel like music was one of the things on his list. And I just felt like we needed to run with that, and that needed to be a major focus of what we do with this particular son. The other son is very dramatic, and he's been dramatic since birth. And I knew that he was really good at acting. He'd never really had an opportunity. And I thought, he's got to get into this. And my husband had a colleague at work who's a professional actress. And I knew she taught workshops around the area. And so I thought, I'm going to find out where she's teaching, and I'm going to get him in one of her workshops, because she knows our family and she likes us, and she'll nurture him. And so I did that. I found out, you know, where, and got him in the class and everything. And I thought to myself, she'll see how much natural ability he has. And if he does have natural ability, and if there's an opportunity, then she will allow him to try out for it, or to, you know, take advantage of it. Well, that's exactly what happened. I got him in this class, and he spent most of the school year, about 8 months, in a little acting class, a very small thing, but he learned some techniques and he gained some confidence, and he got to be Oberon in their little production of that Shakespeare play. Because of that, he tried out for a role in a community play at the community theater, 3 months ago, got a major role, and he just finished up that play and had a major role in it, and just had a wonderful time and really developed that talent and really felt so much more confident. And also, one of the other things on the list for him was, the kid has a big voice. I've been telling him all his life, down, down, shh. He just projects, and he lets the whole neighborhood know everything. And I knew there was a big voice in there to sing, and so I got him voice lessons. And he's been taking voice lessons throughout the year, doing really well. And his next plan is to try out for a musical. So that's one more step, see, in his talent development. So these are the kinds of things. I truly believe that these are miracles for our family. To me, these are family miracles, and I feel like that we all will experience these kinds of things as we really focus on the things that are most important for our children. If we focus on those things, on those God-given talents and gifts, then God is going to help us. He's going to help us know what they are, and He's going to help us to focus on them and to find opportunities for our children to develop those. And I believe that. I really believe that. So, question. So, how have any of you, throughout this, what we've done so far, have you had some thoughts or ideas or inspiration, something maybe that you can take home and apply to your family, to your children? Yes? Maybe? Hopefully? Okay. So, I hope so. I want you to imagine now with me. Can you imagine? First of all, do you believe that your children came to this earth endowed with certain gifts, talents, interests, and characteristics? Yes. Okay, most of us believe that, right? So most of us believe that. And do you believe that every child came to the earth endowed with certain gifts and characteristics and traits? Yeah. Do you believe that you came endowed with those certain gifts and talents and responsibilities, maybe even? Okay, can you imagine the long-term results of giving your children an education that's founded on these principles, guided by the Lord, specially crafted to suit your child's gifts and talents and interests, characteristics, responsibilities? Can you imagine the long-term results of that, what that's going to look like, what that's going to mean for your child? Can you imagine the personal growth and development that will follow if this kind of an education is implemented in your family and your children's lives? Can you imagine the things that they would be able to achieve and accomplish and the ways that they would be able to serve? Can you imagine the blessings and strength that would come to your posterity as this educational approach is passed down through your children, to your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren? Can you imagine the change in the world if every child were educated in this way? Every child had the opportunity to develop their own God-given talents and gifts. Okay, so what I want now is, after we've been through this can you imagine process, I would love for you to share with me some of the things that you're thinking. What is it going to look like? Can you imagine? What's it going to look like? What would be the results, some of the results of embracing this approach?
I don't know how you put this on the board, so don't even try.
Okay.
I think we're so competitive that when you just said, can you imagine if every child had this opportunity, it was just so cohesive and unified that we just too often, and especially as homeschoolers, we're so worried that we're not going to help our children measure up, that we're constantly sort of measuring them and competing, and we want them to beat the competition, or somehow we want to do this. But that's just not the point at all. And so I just loved that feeling, because it removed all of that, and it focuses us between us and our vision upward toward our Father. You know, it's that upward vision, not looking side to side, not peripheral.
So can we say, get rid of the horizontal vision? Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Unhealthy competition? And instead, rejoice in each other's gifts, right? Rejoice in everybody's gifts. I love that. Okay, good. What else? What would be some of the results of embracing this kind of an educational approach? Both short-term and long-term results. Any other ideas or thoughts? Happier people. Yeah, that's the truth, isn't it? How many of us stick with jobs that we hate? Right? We either find a way to like our job, to make it more interesting and more fun, or we change jobs, right? Children in school don't have that option. Children in homeschool hopefully do have that option, that they get to study what they want, right? And what they enjoy. So happier people. I like that. Yeah, somebody else?
So I think about, I'm not sure that I have never done this for myself. I'm going to go do that for myself. Anyway, but it's just been in the last several years that I started to really identify what really makes me passionate, what really makes me excited, what
Right.
Really, much more powerful, motivated, effective people by the time they're my age than I am, because they already know, and they'll already have skills, all of their skills wrapped around that and driving.
With the light of all
Right.
Yeah, I love that. So early identification. Yeah, so many things come from that, right? Early identification equals, I don't even know, great results. Yeah.
I have a little trouble because of things that my children are really talented and they don't want them very talented. For instance, the state presidents come over and they're like, what do you like? And they like games. And we live in the Philadelphia area and my kids want to go to the Bill Gates School of the Future. And so the society doesn't really understand why I don't understand why they are really talented. Sometimes they go in directions, and then people in the state will go, well, what about music? Couldn't you just do music on the computer? I was like, no, I think that there's really a value here because the future is about the computer.
It is.
We've gone so far ahead because of the homeschooling program.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like because society really doesn't accept that so well,
yeah.
That I feel like my children's gifts and talents are being pushed down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I guess you just, I think the thing is that we have to let the children do their own thing. It's not what I would.
Yeah, very prayerful.
Mm-hmm.
Very prayerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think you're right that there are situations where what your child is doing is not generally valued in society, or people don't see the value. And so they're like, well, what about whatever, you know? Are they interested in anything else? Yeah, and so I think we have to be their advocates at that point and just go, honey, you do it. You know, this is God, what God gave you, and I'm supporting you. Yeah.
This is just a side comment, but my brother, he's a designer. He designs clothes and makes all the patterns and everything. Anyway, but right now he's working. He has a couple of clients. The one makes dog toys, and they're like cute dog toys. Anyway, he makes all the patterns, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at that, and I'm like, wow. Those people are passionate about dog toys. I mean, you can make a business out of anything.
Yes.
So if they're passionate about it, that is what matters.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah. And I think we also need to remember that, you know, they say that in 20 years, your child will be doing for a career something that's not even invented now. It's not even a career now. When my husband went to school, what he's doing now was not a career. He's an engineer. And what he's doing now was not a thing then. It wasn't even, yeah. So that's going to happen. But, you know, all these interests that they have and the skills that they develop associated with all these interests, they're gonna use those at some future time. I'll tell you a quick story. My husband was really into drama and stuff when he was in high school and junior college. And then when he went to BYU, he thought, okay, I've got to stop. I've got to focus on getting an education. He got an education in electrical engineering and eventually decided he wanted to be a biomedical engineer. So he got a master's and a PhD in biomedical engineering. He's a director now of a medical simulation center where they have these like really expensive mannequins stuffed with computer equipment. He uses his drama background to create scenarios for these. You know, the physicians come in and practice, what do you do if you have a heart attack, you know, your pregnant woman has a heart attack or something. And so he uses his drama background for that. He's even learned how to do moulage, which is makeup to make you look like you're injured. All part of drama. Okay, so who knew? Who knew, right? That, anyway, just an interesting story. And that's going to happen. People are going to use the, you know, the talents they developed for something else and be able to apply it to, yeah. Okay, any other thoughts about what the possibilities are? What would be some of the results of embracing this educational approach? I'm kind of super excited about it. I have two little grandchildren. I have a little granddaughter who's 3.5 and a grandson who's 1. Oh my gosh, they're the most adorable babies ever. And I just look at them and I think, who are you and what are you going to be? You know, and if you can have this kind of customized education approach from the time that you're small, what are you going to be? You know, just the incredible people. And I feel like, you know, if everybody had this, where would our world be? How much more creativity would there be? How much more ingenuity? How much more invention and entrepreneurship would there be if everybody had this kind of an experience? I mean, how cool is that? Any other thoughts?
And I know that when my son was very small, he was so interested in any kind of military sort of thing. And my husband and I are nothing like that. We don't know where he got this. But he can tell you about every single weapon, every war. He knows who was killed where. Like, he knows everything. I don't even know how. But he was in the public school system for many years. He would get in trouble for writing things about war.
Yeah.
He would be drawn on strategies and all kinds of things too.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how we can stop our kids from whatever it is they were actually born to do or whatever it is.
Absolutely. I had an experience that's very similar to that as well. So yeah, it just comes out, doesn't it? It comes out of them in some form and they just express it somehow, some way. Okay, So this stuff that we've been talking about, this is the stuff that dreams are made of, right? As a parent, this is what you want, you long for your children. You long for them to develop their talents and to follow their interests and to be able to make it a lifetime pursuit. And also, we have to say, earn an income with it, because that's extremely important. You've got to be able to support yourself. I think this ideal is what we as parents lay down our lives for every day. Every day when we're supporting our children in this, we're laying down our lives for children every day so that they can have this kind of experience, so they can have excellence in their lives and follow their passions and do what the Lord wants them to do, what He sent them here to do. Okay, so in closing, I want to refer briefly to Elder Holland's talk from the last general conference. Remember this one? That was such a great slide, wasn't it? If you feel this way after this conference, I'm sure that you're not alone. And I'm pretty sure that this is not the first time that you've felt this way. So I just want to share a few little things from his talk. He says, "None of us want tomorrow or the day after that to destroy the wonderful feelings we have had. We want to hold fast to the spiritual impressions we have had and the inspired teachings we have heard. But it is inevitable that after heavenly moments in our lives, we of necessity return to earth, so to speak, where sometimes less than ideal circumstances again face us." And I think we've all had that. Going on, he says, "Realizing that we all have to come down from peak experiences to deal with the regular vicissitudes of life, may I offer this encouragement." And he offers many words of encouragement in this talk. I just want to share a few that especially touched me. From Isaiah, forgive me if I get a little emotional at this point. I'm going to try not to. Isaiah, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? God giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. They that wait upon Him shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. For the Lord God will hold their right hand, saying unto them, fear not, I will help thee. And I know in my own life, you know, when you get into this, you have the grand vision and you make the plan and you're like, this is so good. This is going to be so great. And then you get into it a little while and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can keep doing this. This is so hard. And here we have Isaiah telling us the Lord will hold your right hand. From Joshua, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And as tomorrow becomes today, the Lord will do wonders among us today, and again tomorrow, and the next day, and the next tomorrow, and every tomorrow after that, the Lord will do wonders among us. I just want to strongly encourage you to go home and read his talk again with homeschooling in mind and with your goals and your visions for your family and for your children and for yourself in mind, and see how this talk applies to your situation and to your life. Take courage and know assuredly that the Lord will bless you in your efforts and your righteous desires to give your children the very best preparation that you can possibly give them for a lifetime and an eternity of service to him and to their families and to the world and to their communities and to every circle of influence that they're in. So I thank you for being here, and I hope that the Spirit has whispered to you something that you can do, some idea that you can take home and implement in your life with your children and with your family. I do know that the Lord will bless you as you do so. Thank you very much. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer questions if there are anything or any comments that you'd like to make. I'd love to hear them because I think that we learn from each other.
What was the name of Elder Collins? Which talk is that?
I think it's called The Lord Will Do Wonders Among Us Tomorrow, I think, but I'm not sure. I think that's what it's called. It's last conference talk.
Mm-hmm. Go down from there. Mm-hmm. And I can see in my 10-year-old and my 8-year-old that they're starting, I can start to identify what they competitively are interested in.
Right.
But the rest of them are still kind of bouncing all over the place.
Yeah.
So is it when you can start to see
that
consistent pattern?
I think you just, I don't think I was really disciplined about this until they were a little older, you know, and I feel like, you know, when you can start to identify things, oh, I see that he's really interested in this, and, you know, you can start to do that. Sometimes kids will be, you know, earlier, my musician was early. I don't know that I know how to answer that question except to say to be prayerful about it and to just, you know, counsel with your husband and with your child. And I don't feel like it should be a rigid or stringent program. I think certainly there's flow to it, you know, and it's going to change over time. Those are my thoughts. Any other comments? Anything?
I was telling her that I know some non-divorce parents. Children are into war strategy.
Are they into what?
It's a war strategy.
Oh.
I'm fascinated with that.
Uh-huh. What's the Book of Mormon all about?
War.
It's about war. Why? We're living in the last days, right? We have modern day warriors. Yeah. So we need to not squash them, right? We need to support their interests and it is. Right. Right. But being prayerful about it and then let them go with it. Yeah. And supporting. Yeah. Anything else? All right. You've been a great crowd. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your time.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.